Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Many of you know that there was a season in my early childhood where my mom was a single mom. And every time it gets to be this time of year, I think about that season and this banquet. And I think that may be why it's one of the most exciting things that we do. I left there Thursday night thinking, we just had church. I mean, you are never more like the church than when you're loving and investing into those ladies. Some of you know Scripture tells us they are to be invested in and cared for. And I love that I get to lead a church that is so focused on those individuals. Give yourself a round of applause. You made that happen for all of them. It is Mother's Day, and I have a couple things I want to share with you today. There was a school teacher that asked her third grade classroom a question. Now, I just need to warn you, these are third graders. This is not Pastor Don's words. These are third grade words. And here's the question that she asked. She said, "What is a grandmother?" And this is what these third graders had to say. "A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. She likes other people's little girls and boys. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He goes for walks with boys and they talk about fishing and stuff like that. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It is enough if they just drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have a lot of dimes ready. Or if they take us for walks, they should slow down past the pretty things like leaves and caterpillars. They should never say, hurry up." Their words, not mine, ladies. "Grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums out. Grandmothers don't have to be smart," one child said. "Only answer questions like, why isn't God married and why do some dogs chase cats?" Another said, "Grandmothers don't talk baby talk like visitors do because it's hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip or mind if it's the same story over and over again. Everyone should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have a television, because they are the only grown-ups who have time." One of my favorite Mother's Day tributes actually comes from a newspaper columnist, Irma Bombeck. And this is what she wrote one year. She says, "When the Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, you're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one. And the Lord said, well, have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not have plastic, have 180 movable parts, all of them replaceable. She has to run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, and needs a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a broken heart, and she needs six pairs of hands." The angel shook his head slowly and said, "Six pairs of hands, there's no way." God said, "Oh, that's easy. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "On the standard model?" the angel said. "Yeah," the Lord nodded. "One pair that sees through the closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing in there, though she already knows. Another pair that goes on the back of her head that sees when you don't think she's looking. And of course, the ones here in front that can bring a child to a complete stop with just a look." "Well, that's too much to ask for," said the angel. "Well, I can't quit now. She can heal herself when she's sick. She can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger and can get a 9-year-old to stand underneath the shower." The angel circled the model of the mother very slowly. "I don't know, it's too soft," he said. "Ah, but it's still tough," said the Lord excitingly. "You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure." "Well, can it think?" he said. "Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise and dream," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran a finger across her cheek. "Oh, there's a leak," he pronounced. I told you you were trying to put too much into this model. Oh, that's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. A tear. What's it for? It's for joy. It's for sadness. For disappointment. For pain. For loneliness and pride. She will feel every single one of them. Wow, said the angel. No, said the Lord. We're going to call her Mom. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. Can we welcome and celebrate our mamas today? What an incredible, incredible day. I have some gifts for a few moms in the room, but I need to identify them uniquely. Last service, we did this. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I am looking for the newest mother in the room, the newest mother. If you are a mother, here's what I'm asking you to do, and your little one is 6 months old or less, would you stand to your feet so we can acknowledge you? Looking for a new mama 6 months old or less. Only one? I've got a gift for you today. Our team's going to come find you. I've got a gift. I want to celebrate you especially on Mother's Day. There's another I'm looking for today. I'm looking for our most recent foster mom in the room. You are fostering a child. If you have been fostering a child less than 1 year, can you stand up and acknowledge yourself today? Less than 1 year. Any foster moms? I know we had some last service. Guess what? It's all you. Thank you for being a mama, a temporary mama in that child's life. I appreciate that. Next, I want to acknowledge, this is special to me. I want to acknowledge our most recent adoptive mother. You're an adoptive mother. You weren't the birth mother, but you stepped in. You are an adopted mother. If you've been adopting a child less than 3 years, 3 years or less, would you stand up so we can acknowledge an adopted mother here in the room? Anybody? Somebody's pointing, but I don't know that anybody's standing. 4 years? 5 years. Are there any adoptive mothers here in the room today? Raise your hand. There you go. Isn't that just like a mama to not want any attention, to fade into the background? Today's Mother's Day. You ain't slipping out of here without something. We've got a gift for you. Thank you very, very much. I don't know if that little one is old enough to tell you how grateful they are that you would step into their life, but let me tell you on their behalf, we honor you. Thank you very much for doing that today. There's a few passages of Scripture that always remind me about mothers. It always reminds me, especially about the mamas that I've had in my life. One of them that comes to mind is Psalms 139, verse 13. I'm sure you're familiar with the passage. It says, "For you formed," this is talking to God, "for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." It reminds me of the intentionality that God had to not just stitch me together, but to choose where I would be stitched together. There are a lot of mamas on the planet, but there's only one that was suited enough to be my mama. And that's, her name is Rita Norman. I've got a picture of her. I want to honor my mama today. I wish I could see her today, but I'll be calling her here in a little bit. I am so much like her, y'all. It makes both of us scared sometimes at how much I am just like her. There's another passage of Scripture. This is an entire chapter in Proverbs devoted to a virtuous woman. It discusses how she serves, how she gives, how she cares, how much she serves the Lord. The last two verses really sum it up for me. Look at this, Proverbs 31, verse 30. "Charm can be misleading, and beauty is vain and so quickly fades. But this virtuous woman lives in the wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. So go ahead, give her the credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gateways of every city." I can't help but read this and think about the mother of my own children, Kayla. I know many of you know her. She's actually serving in our nursery today as we speak right now. But if you haven't met her, I've got a picture of her. I want to honor my wife and the mother of my children today. We've about figured out how to make all the kids look the same. I'll let you know about that later, maybe in a different message. I had another mother in my life, though, and that's the one I want to talk to you about today. This mother in my life is very special to me. During my young childhood, many of you realize I was part of a single mom household, and there was a season in our life, I was very young, my mom relocated us from one city to a completely different city. She was leaving some unhealthy influences in her life. I mean, you're grateful for the bravery of a mama to step out into a community she doesn't know because there's some unhealthy things. She was thinking about us, she was doing. During this time, my brother and I was about 6 or 7. He and my 3-year-old brother and I, we changed schools and we moved in with my great-grandmother for several months. I lived with my great-grandmother, and I got to thinking about this message today and that season of my life and realized that all of my foundations for church and faith came from that season where I lived with her. Yeah, her name was Lois, but we called her Nanny. I say called her because she's no longer with us today, but I have a picture of my nanny. I want to honor my nanny today. That's my nanny. I know you're asking, Pastor Don, is that Garrett, your 4-year-old? No, that's me. That's me. I did have hair at one point in my life. And even as I grew up and went and would talk with my mom, she continued to be the strongest voice of faith in my life. My nanny, my great-grandmother, my faith journey, this is the point I want to make today. My faith journey did not begin in my mother's home. It actually began in my great-grandmother's home. It began in Lois's home. It began with Lois. How many of you here would say, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my mama? You'll think about it for just a second. That should be everybody's hand. None of us would be here for mama. But how many of you would say, really, Pastor Don, my grandmother played a very significant role in my life and in my faith journey here today? Look at all the hands around here. Grandmothers are so, so important. And that's what Timothy would say too. There's a young pastor we read about in Scripture. The Apostle Paul actually writes him a letter. And in this letter, we see some insights. And I'm gonna give you a picture into his origin story. And here's the hint. Are you ready? What God was doing in him didn't begin with him. God was doing something inside of Timothy, but it didn't start with him. Let's look and see if we can figure out where it started. It actually began with his grandmother, and wouldn't you know it, her name was Lois also. It began with Lois. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 through 6. It says, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. This is important to me for this reason. Timothy's faith journey is a lot like mine. It didn't begin in his mother's house. His faith journey began in his grandmother's house all those years before. You got to understand this about Timothy to kind of see where I'm coming from. Timothy grew up in a city called Lystra, and Lystra is part of modern-day Turkey, and where this was kind of on the outskirts of the Jewish influence, but there were Jews there that lived in Lystra, but there was also Gentiles. Gentiles were non-Jews. Paul would travel there, and one specific time in Acts chapter 14, the Bible tells us that Paul prays for and heals a man that could not walk. Paul prays for him, and now he can walk. He is completely healed, and there were some Jews in that community that did not like what was happening at all. They actually stoned Paul. Now, I know when you read about stoning in Scripture, usually that individual dies, but by God's grace, Paul doesn't die. But how many of you know that wasn't one of the best days he had had at all? It was in that moment, most theologians believe that there was a woman named Lois who nursed him back to health inside of her own home. That woman, Lois, had a daughter named Eunice and a young child named Timothy, and many believe that's where Paul and Timothy first met, his grandmother nursing Paul back to health. It was a risky thing for Lois to do, to place her Jewish family at that kind of a risk in order to take care of Paul, who was a Christian and spreading Christianity that was there. I remember talking to my mom about the risk that she took that season. She always went back and regretted that moment where she had to leave us with my great-grandmother to be able to prepare a place for us. And I look back on that and I think, Mom, I know you don't like talking about it, but those are some fond memories for me. I look back at the faith that I now have, the relationship I have, even the thing that I get to do every single day started back in my great-grandmother's house. How many realize what the enemy plans for evil, God's going to make for good? She thought she was having to do something that she didn't want to do, and God says, don't worry, I got this. I know exactly where that young man's going to be. I know exactly who he's going to be with. My great-grandmother was the one who made me memorize the 23rd Psalm when I was 5 years old. It was the first of many scriptures and many passages that I've learned to memorize all throughout my life, and I look back on that season, I think, man, God wastes nothing. God wastes nothing. He knows exactly where we're supposed to be. Oftentimes, it takes someone like a grandmother to be able to look past things like pride and poverty and prejudice to really see what God wants to do in a community. How are you grateful for grandmamas who can see past the things that other people can't see? You may not realize this. I know I've talked a lot about Jews and Gentiles, but we're talking about different races here. This is a family that grew up one race and yet somehow sees a different race as not being that different from their own. Let me explain. Lois was a Jew, but somehow managed to raise a daughter, Eunice, who was also a Jew, who married a Greek. That didn't happen back then. Jews didn't marry non-Jews. And the fact that Lois had a daughter raised that married a Greek tells me that Lois had the kind of home where it didn't matter what color your skin was. She didn't just see one color, she saw them all. I had somebody tell me once, well, I don't see color, Pastor Don, I don't see color. I know what they meant, but I couldn't help but say, I do. I see color. I see all the colors that God intended every single one of us to have, and every single one of us are made in His image. The more of you I get to know, the more of God I get to see, and I can't wait to meet more of you. I was having this conversation with him, and he started to realize, man, I'm grateful for a mama or a grandmama who would raise a child to look the way she looks, not to see or segregate somebody by the color of their skin, but by who God had inside of them. Y'all with me? The story goes on to say that Paul returns on his second trip and Timothy joins him to spread the gospel to the rest of the Gentile world. And here's why that's important. Paul was about to take this guy with him. He grew up in a Jewish home with a Greek father. Timothy was essentially biracial. And that was very important as they went to travel. He could relate to both sides of the groups that he was going to be communicating with. But it wasn't his biracial skin that made him important to what Paul was doing. It was his biracial vision. The fact that he would look at somebody and not immediately judge them by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, as Dr. Martin Luther King said once. I love when you see this take place. This is what I'm trying to unpack for you today. What Paul and God wanted to do in the life of Timothy didn't start with Timothy. It started way back a few generations before in the life of his grandmother. Think about all the things that God has to do in order to make things happen. Have you ever thought about this for a second? Jesus is coming, and the Roman Empire is spread all over the known world. How are we going to get Christianity spread to the known world? Don't worry, God's got it covered. He's going to pick a guy named Paul who is a Roman citizen. But he's going to start in a Jewish-speaking community, so God makes sure that Paul has a Jewish upbringing, is schooled in all of Jewish law and customs, and it's as if he tailor-made this guy to go do what he was going to do. We see the same thing in Timothy's life. He didn't just say, hey, Paul, go pick somebody to travel with you. He said, hey, Paul, I got a young man I've been working on. It started back with his great-grandmother, now into his grandmother, now into his mother. And this is a guy that's uniquely made for this season of life. God wanted Timothy helping Paul, but he began back with Lois. You do know that God builds generationally, right? Yeah, y'all do know God builds generationally. The power of building generationally, though, isn't just looking backwards, but it's the ability to look forward as well. I'll say it this way. You'll either be continuing a godly heritage with your life, or you'll be beginning one for generations to follow. Every single person in here today has an opportunity to do one of those two things. Either continue the godly heritage that was started before you as part of your family, part of your upbringing, or you'll have an opportunity today to begin one for the generations to follow. Look what Paul says in this passage. I don't want us to miss this. In verse 5, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the kind of faith that I saw that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, then your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. And then he says this, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Follow me on this. God had called Timothy into ministry and picked Paul to equip him to get there. But what God had done didn't start with Paul and Timothy. It started with Lois, right? It was generational. The calling and the gift came from God. The equipping came from Paul, but the faith that sustained it came from Lois, came from his generations before him. Y'all with me so far? It's much like lighting a torch. Think about your kids. When the flame is applied, is there anything there that will burn? How many times does God try to speak to our little ones, but they don't understand what his voice looks like because they've never seen you walk it out yourself? It's important, and many of us know your mama's a praying mama. Your grandma's a praying grandma. You knew no matter what you were off doing, you could not run those prayers. God had done something, and you knew what it looked like when you got it. I think that Timothy recognized his ministry calling, not because he saw something in Paul that was familiar. He recognized it because he saw something that was in his mama and his grandmama that he recognized. And when God started to speak to him, that's when it opened up. The gift of the calling of ministry didn't come from his grandmother or mine, but the faith that sustained that calling happened with her. Do you know that faith can be passed on generationally? Sure it can. I remember growing up in Nanny's house, we would have some of the most amazing times and the most amazing things. Still to this day, I don't like coffee because my great-grandmother would drink it black. And I know many of you grew up with coffee milk. My great-grandmother didn't. That was not her thing. It was black coffee, and I couldn't like the smell, didn't like the taste of it at all. That period that we were living with my great-grandmother, I was in the second grade, and she would take us to the store, and she would buy us these workbooks that we could do to keep us occupied, right? And I would finish one workbook, and she'd grab me the next one. And I remember specifically this one set of workbooks were math. And I've always been really good with numbers, really good with math. And I remember being in the second grade completing this fourth grade math workbook that she would get from the grocery store. And I was so proud of myself, y'all. I walked up to Nanny and said, Nanny, you won't believe this. I'm only in the second grade, and I just finished this fourth grade workbook. And she looked at me like every great-grandmother would, loving me but not wanting me to get a big head in life. And she said, oh, sweetheart, just know, no matter how good you get, there will always be somebody better. How many of you are grateful for a grandmother that can see beyond into who you are and know that I'm going to help this kid? He needs help. That's the kind of relationship I had with my great-grandmother. She was actually the first person that I called when I realized, I think God wants me to go into ministry. It was a scary time for me. I was in college. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I finished college. I go to Bible school. How do I handle this season? I called her for some advice, and she prayed with me and called me the next day, and she said, Donnie, now listen, y'all can't call me Donnie. She calls me Donnie. Y'all can call me Pastor Dom. She called me. She said, Donnie, I had a dream last night. It was a prophetic dream that God had given her. She said, in this dream, you were very, very scared. We were driving down the road in my car. You were seated in the front seat just like you were back when you were 6 or 7 years old. And she said, we were driving, there was all these trees. It's like we were in the middle of a forest. And you were scared and it was getting dark and you couldn't see where you were supposed to go. She said, and I reached over and I placed my hand on your chest and I turned the steering wheel. And as I turned the steering wheel, the trees parted and we were out on the highway and you felt much better and could clearly see where we were headed. God used that dream in that moment with my great-grandmother to tell her that she was supposed to help me get to Bible school. She actually went and paid for my first year of Bible school. How amazing is that? I know you'll never get the opportunity to meet Lois, but I think there's a few of you in here that are grateful for a grandmother that would be willing to listen to the voice of the Lord on behalf of her grandson to help him get where God wants him to be. And I think that's where Paul is trying to tell young Timothy in this ministry is, hey, there's a lot of things to be grateful for. God's doing a lot of stuff in your life, but don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that everything that God is doing in you didn't start with you. It started back with Lois. It started with your grandmother. It started with your mother. Now it's with you. He goes on to say, fan into flame this gift of God. Fan into flame this gift of God. And then he says something next in Scripture that is very interesting. I need you to understand this. How many of you at any point in time, you've heard the Bible verse? It says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You know that verse. We would teach that verse to our children when they'd wake up scared at night. We would tell them, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We'd have hand gestures and everything that we'd do with them to help them remember that. I didn't realize till much later, that's not the context that Scripture gives us that verse. It's not for monsters under your bed that verse is given to us. It's for the fear of idleness in the ministry calling that God has given you. Look at this. I'm going to read it to you. Paul says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Paul says, fan to flame, don't be afraid. When you fan a flame, you run the risk of blowing it out, don't you? Fan it too hard, it's going to blow out. But what happens if you don't fan it at all? It's going to go out. So many times I talk to Christians who know they love God and God's put things inside of them, but it's as if they're afraid to use it. It's as if they're afraid, I'm going to get burned out, or I work all week long, and I couldn't possibly do anything at church, and it's like something's missing from their life. Then I know those Christians that know that God has put something on the inside of them, and they show up every chance they get to put their hands to it, and guess what happens when they start fanning that thing? It starts to grow. The most successful Christians in life I know are the ones that are using the things that God has given them. The Christians that I know that struggle the most are the ones that walk around acting as if they're afraid to use the very things that God has put inside of them. I think that's why Paul was telling Timothy, don't forget where you came from. There's been something that's been handed down to you, but don't just sit on it. Put it in your pocket. Put it in a nightstand. Put it up on the shelf. Act like you don't know anything about it. You got to put that thing into work. What your grandmother did, she put it to work, and that's why I'm here today. Don't be afraid of using what God has given you. Step out there and use it. Are y'all with me today? Y'all seeing this? You say, well, Pastor Don, I thought this was a Mother's Day message. Look at my face. If you got invited here today by a mother or a grandmother, this is exactly what they want you to hear. This is exactly what they want. There is something that God has done in their life that was for you, that started with them, and they have spent their entire life making sure there's an environment around you where you could recognize what a godly person looks like. How many of you are grateful for that kind of mama and that kind of grandmother? Paul wanted Timothy to learn how to honor his mother and his grandmother's godly heritage, and I want us to do the same thing. For the rest of our time together, I'm going to give you three things that we learn from this passage. And this Mother's Day, if you'll allow me, I'd like to encourage you to do these three things. Here's the first one. Show honor and speak gratitude. Show honor, speak gratitude. We show honor by the things that we do. We speak gratitude by the words that we say. You heard it earlier from the stage. Bree told us that honor, or that gratitude isn't gratitude unless it's spoken, right? You can be grateful all day long, but until it comes out of your mouth, it's not really gratitude. Likewise, you can say a lot of things, Happy Mother's Day, but you need to show Mother's Day today. You need to show something, put some action to your works. Even if your relationship with your mom has been strained or maybe is non-existent, there's still something for you to honor, something for you to acknowledge. If you don't believe me, look at me. Of all the mothers in the world, God picked her. She carried you. She birthed you. She ate things that she normally didn't like to eat because of you. Right? All of those times, for no other reason than that, that's something to be honored. That's something to be valued. That's something to be cherished. And I think if you spend a little bit of time thinking about it, you can find many, many, many more things to honor and value. Can Mother's Day be the day where you set some of those differences aside and just say, I honor you today, Mom. I honor you today. And this goes for mothers-in-laws too. Moms-in-laws, y'all get a bad rap sometimes. I know you do. But listen, if it weren't for your mother-in-law, you wouldn't have your spouse. So even then, you've got something that you can be grateful and thankful for. Amen? Number one, we're going to show honor and we're going to speak gratitude. Here's number two. We're going to guard what's been given. That's what Paul tells Timothy. Guard what's been given. Listen to me. That godly heritage that you've been given wasn't just for you. It's for those that are going to come after you. It's going to come after you. Someone once said, Christianity is just one generation away from extinction. Just one generation away from extinction. Now, I personally believe that God will always set aside for himself a people that know him, a remnant exactly just for his call and his purposes. But I can say that's 100% true about your family. Your family is one generation away from not knowing God. One generation away from not having a godly heritage. Paul tells us to guard this heritage in this way. You ready? Number three, fan it into flames. Fan it into flames. You don't fan and you don't guard faith by locking it away. You guard it by using it, right? You're going to lose it if you don't use it. You've heard that phrase before? I think the faith that we have in life is very much the same way. One of the first pickup trucks I ever bought was a 4x4. And my dad laughed at me. He said, what are you doing with a 4x4 truck, son? You don't do anything that needs a 4x4 truck. I said, yeah, but it's cool. It's got a 4x4. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about, son. Listen to me. Every month, I want you to go find a dirt road or some cane field or something, and I want you to go take that truck, put it in 4x4 gear, and at least once a month, I want you to go use 4x4. I said, why, Dad? He said, you don't understand 4x4 the way it works. He said, those gears and that system that engages that four-wheel drive, if you don't use it, if all you do is drive a 4x4 truck on the highway, on the road, on a paved street, and if you never put it in 4x4, the moment you need it, it won't be there. It doesn't work. I had a mechanic come several years later and say the number one reason why people bring their 4x4 pickup trucks in to be serviced when they don't work is because they never put it in 4x4 gear. They would just run that 4x4 like it was a 4x2. And I got to thinking, man, how many Christians are the same way? Something happens in their life and they think, oh, I've seen mom do this. I've seen grandma do this. I'm going to pray to God and let God come through for me. And we kick that thing into 4x4 and we realize it ain't working. You guard what's been entrusted to you by fanning it into flames. You wake up in the morning and you say, I remember my mama used to get up and read her Bible. I'm going to get up and read my Bible. I remember grandma used to always have a Bible out on the coffee table. I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to open mine and read it. I had the privilege of grabbing my great-grandmother's Bible. And I remember, this is, just came to my mind, I remember I was in kindergarten sitting in church with her. We had a balcony much like this, and she would sit in the balcony up here, and she would hand me her Bible to look at while we were in church. I think she wanted me to sit still is really what I think she wanted me to do. And I remember, and she would say, you can't write in it. You can't write in it. And she'd take me to the back of the book. There's a verse in here that says, if anybody adds to this law of God, you know, it's not going to work out well for them. And she totally used that out of context. Later in life, I had the privilege as an adult to put my hands on her Bible, and she had written all in it. Underlined, words, phrases, notes in the margin. To this day, you grab mine and it's the same way. I never read this word without a pen in my hand. I saw it happen in the life of my great-grandmother. And now today, when something happens and I need to kick it into 4x4, I use it all the time. I use it all the time. But you're going to lose if you don't guard it. And I think your ministry gifts are the same way. If you don't use them, you'll lose them. It's like the fire is burning inside, and if we don't keep it going, why do you think I'm so excited about you guys serving around here? We don't need any more help. You need something to put your hands to, because there's a godly heritage that's being passed down to you. And if it wasn't passed down to you, maybe you're here beginning one, and it's important. There's a little one beside you watching you worship. There's somebody beside you getting up on a Sunday morning wondering if we can watch cartoons. No, baby, we get to go to church today. You are modeling for others, and if you don't fan into flames what God has done inside your life, it's not going to be there for them when they need it. Are y'all with me so far? Listen to me, I couldn't be more serious about this. I have been praying for you all week long. Mama's in the room, the grandmother's in the room. Can I say thank you so much for your sacrifice? No family happens without sacrifice. And it's almost always the mamas and the grandmamas who do the majority of the sacrifice. Thank you for sacrificing, for modeling to your husband and to your kids what a godly woman looks like. My prayer for you today is that you would feel honored and cherished, that we'd have an opportunity like we do. Can we do this? If you're a mother here or a grandmother in the room, can you stand to your feet? I want us to honor and acknowledge every single one of you. Look at all these mamas. That baby in your belly, that baby in your belly can't applaud you right now, but one day they will, I promise you. One day they will, I promise you that. Do me a favor, mamas, please stay standing. If you're near a mama, can you stretch your hand out, maybe place one on their hand or their shoulder? I don't want any mama in this room without somebody having their hand laid on it. Move around if you need to. Let's make sure every single person. Can we pray for these mamas? Y'all join me. Pray as if you're praying for your own mama. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these mothers. Thank you for the countless hours that they've spent toiling and working and serving and giving and doing without so that we could have. Thank you for everything that they said no to so that we get to say yes to. I pray, Father, that your presence would fill them to full this morning, that today would be a day among all. We should have Mother's Day 365 days a year. These women are so important to what you're doing. I thank you, Father, for choosing them. You could have chosen anybody to give those children to, but you chose this mama right here, which means you've put something inside of her that is directly meant for these little ones. I pray, Father, that you would give her wisdom when she needs it. You would give her rest when she can't find it. You would give her opportunities and the words to say when it seems like there are no words. Thank you for the things that we read earlier about all the ways that mamas serve us and give to us, the tears and the kisses and the hugs. And I honor them today, Father. I thank you for these mamas in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Thank you, mamas. You may be seated. Sons and daughters here in the room today, I prayed for you too. And here's what I prayed. I prayed that today you would learn what it's like to honor a mama. That at any point in time, you can pick up the phone or walk into that kitchen and grab that woman by the hands. Say, God, I thank you for this woman. Thank you for the gift that she is to me. Thank you that I would not be here without her, physically, spiritually. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've been very intentional today with teaching you how to say thank you, sons and daughters in the room. Don't miss that opportunity. I'm also keenly aware that today may be the first Mother's Day you have without your mama. I tell you, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. It's a reality that's going to happen to all of us. I don't want anybody here to miss a moment to thank your mama. But if you're here and you can't call her, you can't get her on the phone, can I encourage you in this way? Grieve her. Grieve her. Allow yourself to grieve her. But don't do this alone. Don't grieve her alone. Your mother would not want you held up on Mother's Day all by yourself, grieving her alone. Grieve her and celebrate her with others. Do you know you can take your mama to lunch today? By the way you tell the stories and the things you say about her and the way you remind people, oh, I remember when mama used to do this and I remember my mom did this. Hey, don't order that. Mom used to make one. It's so much better. Many of you think you're going to miss your mama. You will. But you won't miss opportunities to remind others what kind of an amazing woman that she was. Missing's not meant to do alone. Amen. I've spent a lot of time today talking about generations and how God has prepared each of us for generations to follow. And I told you, you're here today, you're either going to have an opportunity to continue a godly heritage that was passed on to you, or you're going to have an opportunity to begin one yourself for your children, for your children's children. God doesn't just make things out of nothing. He can actually take old things and make them new. He can take dead things and bring them back to life. And if you're here today and you're far from God, God brought you here. He has you here for a reason. And I'm going to tell you something. You may have wondered, if you're the one that has wandered away from that godly heritage that's been passed on to you, can I tell you this? You haven't wandered too far. You will never outwander the heritage that has been passed on for you. I learned at an early age, and you'll learn this too, you can't outrun a praying mama. And if you got a praying grandmama too, it's over. Just give up. Turn it in. You ain't got a shot, right? It's one thing to have a praying mama, to have a praying mama and a grandmother. If your great-grandmother's still alive praying for you, come meet me after service. I'm just going to help you. We'll get over with right now. You're going to do what God has called you to do. If you haven't wandered too far, come back to the Father by coming to Jesus today. I'll give you an opportunity, I promise. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a godly heritage. Can I tell you this? You don't need to have come from a godly family in order to have a godly family. You don't have to come from that type of lineage to begin one. God can birth that inside of you right now. Your generation can be the first generation. You can be a Lois. You just got to acknowledge God's doing something unique in my life, and I want to begin something that I wish I had. I know parents who have grown kids who wished that they had raised their kids in the type of home that they now find themselves in, like this on Sunday morning. Can I tell you, you can start now. You can start now. I know some grandmas in the room. You're here because your son or daughter attend church regularly, and you haven't had the kind of relationship with God that you've watched modeled before them. Today can be the day. You don't have to have come from a godly family in order to have one today. Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you're wondering today, Pastor Don, how do I begin a godly family? How do I continue a godly heritage? It starts with a relationship with Jesus. Can I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes? I have you do this in moments like this because I don't want anybody moving around. I need you just paying attention, and I want you to listen to not just my voice, but the voice of the Holy Spirit, because I think God is speaking to you today. Here's the reality. God has been preparing you for this moment. But it didn't begin this morning. It began a long time ago. Long before you even formed in your mother's womb, God made a way for you to be reconciled to himself, to be able to spend eternity with God. God loves you. You say, Pastor Don, I don't feel like God loves me. No, God loves you. The Bible tells us this. God demonstrates his love for you in this way, that while you were still a sinner, God sent Jesus to die for you. There are no greater love than that right there. There's not a place that you've been, a thing that you've said, or something that you've done that would separate you from that love. Where do you think mamas get it from anyway? they get it from our Heavenly Father. That love that comes when it's not deserved, that love that comes when you least expect it, that love that comes expecting nothing in return, that is not mama's love. That is the Father's love that your mama has learned and has given to you. So how do I receive that love today, Pastor Don? How do I receive that love? How do I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior? I would tell you it's as simple as A, B, C. A stands for admit. You have to admit your sin, your choices, the things you decided on your own that separated you from a righteous and a loving God. You have to say, man, God, I'm sorry. I see that what I did was wrong. I see that it's costing me a relationship with you. I see how it's putting me away from this heritage that you've provided for me. B stands for believe. You have to believe that God sent his son Jesus to live a life that you couldn't live, to die the death that you were supposed to die so that you could be reconciled in your relationship with God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Don, I admit and I believe, then I would say all you have to do is see. Confess. Confess him as Lord and Savior. It's the way of saying his way is better. I'm going to stop doing things my way. I'm going to start doing them your way. Listen to me, church. There will be a point in this life here on earth where you'll be living without your mom. But that moment doesn't have to last for eternity. The greatest Mother's Day gift you could ever give would be to let her know that your eternity in heaven is secured. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking around. Pastor Don, I'm ready to continue that godly legacy, that godly heritage. I'm ready to begin one today for me and my kids after me. This Mother's Day, I'll never forget it. It's the day God birthed something inside of me. If you're here today and you want me to pray with you to be born again, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to know that your purpose here on earth has meaning, that your destination in heaven is secure, and that you get to spend eternity with the ones that have gone before you today. If you're here, I want you to raise your hand and look up at me right now. Raise your hand. Let me see. Thank you. Keep your hand up till I see you. Thank you. I see you. I see you. All three of you right there in the pew together. God's working in that family. I'm looking all across the room. Thank you. I see your hand. Raise your hand. You can place it down one more time and then we'll pray. I don't want to miss anybody today on this Mother's Day. Lift your hand right now if you didn't raise your hand earlier. Mamas, thank you for praying. Grandmas, thank you for praying. Those of you that raised your hand, I want to lead you in this prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's God and his Holy Spirit that has saved you. But we're going to pray this prayer with you out loud together. Say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to follow you with all my heart, no matter what it costs me. And I declare that God is my Father. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's celebrate with those who were born again today.